All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look at a case that really changed how we think about employment law, at least a little bit. It's Geary v. United States Steel Corporation. It happened back in 1974 in Pennsylvania, and it didn't turn out so great for the guy who brought the case, but it did get people talking about, like, where's the line between what an employer can do and what's good for everybody else, you know, for the public.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. It all boils down to this idea of at-will employment.
Mm.
Now, you're probably familiar with this concept already, right? It basically means an employer can, generally speaking, hire and fire someone for pretty much any reason or even no reason at all. But Geary kind of throws a wrench in that simple idea. It asks, like, what if you get fired for speaking up about something that could put the public in danger? Does that change things?
Exactly. It gets all murky, right? So let's meet our main player, George Geary. Now, George was a salesperson for U.S. Steel. He wasn't, like, a safety inspector or anything. He'd been with the company for a good long time, since 1953.
And then in 67, things get interesting. The company rolls out this brand new product, a high-pressure tubular casing. Geary starts getting this really bad feeling about it. He's like, hold on, I don't think this thing's been tested properly. This could be dangerous. And remember, his main concern wasn't about sales or anything. He was genuinely worried about the safety of the product.
Right. So he does what any responsible person would do. He tries to raise the alarm internally. He goes to his supervisors, tells them his concerns. But as often happens in these situations, they kind of brushed him off, told him to, you know, stick to his sales targets. But Geary, he's not one to give up easily. He feels really strongly about this. So he goes over their heads and takes his concerns straight to a vice president at U.S. Steel.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting. And I'm sure this was highlighted in the materials you've been looking at. You see, U.S. Steel actually took Geary's concerns seriously enough to take another look at the product. And guess what? They ended up pulling it from the market. So in a way, Geary was right. His warnings, they were actually validated by the company's own actions.
So you'd think, okay, Geary's a hero, right? He potentially saved people from getting hurt, but no. Shortly after that, they fired him. Just like that, no warning, nothing. Geary, understandably, felt this was totally unfair, so he sued U.S. Steel for wrongful discharge, claiming they fired him for trying to do the right thing, for speaking up for public safety. But the lower courts, they didn't see it that way, and the case ended up in front of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
So now we're at the big leagues, right? The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has this really tough question in front of them. Can an at-will employee, someone like Geary, who doesn't have a specific contract guaranteeing his job, can he sue for wrongful discharge just because he was fired for raising concerns about safety?
And the court said no. Geary lost the case. But, and here's the important part that makes this case still relevant today, they did say that maybe, just maybe, in certain situations, public policy could be a reason to limit an employer's power to fire someone at will. That little nugget, that's what makes Geary so important, even though in this case, Geary himself didn't win.
That's a great point. The court didn't totally shut down the idea that there could be times when public policy trumps an employer's right to fire whoever they want. But to really understand why Geary lost this particular case, we need to dig into what the majority of the judges were thinking. The guy who wrote the majority opinion, that was Justice Pomeroy. Let's try to figure out what he was getting at.
So one thing that jumps out from the majority opinion is this kind of hesitation to assume that U.S. Steel was out to get Geary. They didn't see this evil scheme to, like, silence him or violate some big public policy. They thought the company probably just saw Geary as, I don't know, a pain in the neck, maybe, someone who was making things harder than they needed to be. So to them, the firing was more about keeping things running smoothly, not about suppressing some big secret about safety.
And another big factor in the decision was Geary's specific job at the company. Remember, he was a salesperson. His job wasn't to make sure products were safe, right? He was there to sell them. So the court thought, well, even if his worries were valid, does that automatically mean he has some kind of special protection under the law? They were drawing a line between someone whose job it is to worry about safety and someone who just happens to have concerns about it.
Mm.
They saw his actions more like just voicing his opinion, not like him doing something his job actually required.
And then there's this other thing that comes through pretty loud and clear in the opinion. The court was kind of worried about setting a precedent that could lead to a whole flood of lawsuits. They were thinking, what if every time someone got fired, they could just claim it was because they raised some concern about something? They didn't want to take away too much power from employers to manage their own employees. It's like they were trying to balance this new idea of protecting whistleblowers with the old rules of at-will employment. What do you think about that balancing act?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? It's like this constant push and pull between protecting employees who are doing the right thing and making sure employers can still, you know, run their businesses effectively. And as you probably saw in your readings, Justice Roberts, he had a very different take on this whole thing. He wrote a pretty strong dissenting opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Justice Roberts' dissent is like a whole other side to the story. He really puts public safety front and center, saying, look, when it comes to protecting people from faulty products, that has to come before an employer's right to fire someone. For him, it's no contest. Keeping the public safe, that's the most important thing.
And he also makes this point about the importance of speaking up. He says, employees shouldn't be punished for raising legitimate concerns. They're doing their part by letting the company know about potential problems. They should be protected for that, not fired.
And he really goes after the majority opinion, calling them, and I'm quoting here, out of touch. He basically says the court needs to get with the times and recognize that the way businesses operate has changed and the law needs to keep up. It's a pretty strong disagreement. What I find really fascinating, and I think this is something you should really pay attention to, is how his dissenting opinion almost predicted how the law would change in the future. It laid the groundwork for a lot of the exceptions to at-will employment that we see today.
It really shows you how even when someone loses a case, their ideas can still have a huge impact down the line. So while the majority in Geary didn't give us a clear list of what counts as a public policy exception, they did kind of hint at some things that would make a wrongful discharge claim stronger.
Right, like they implied that the firing would need to be clearly against some important societal rule, something obvious like being fired for refusing to lie under oath that's both illegal and, you know, just plain wrong. The connection between getting fired and violating public policy would have to be super clear.
And they also implied that it would help to show that the employer was deliberately trying to hurt the employee or do something illegal. Just firing someone for speaking up, even about safety, might not be enough without showing there was some kind of bad intention behind it.
And you know what's really interesting is that this whole careful approach that you see in Geary, especially these ideas about needing a clear public policy violation and proving bad intent, they actually ended up being used in a later case in Pennsylvania. In 1989, in Clay v. Advanced Computer Applications, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court used these ideas from Geary to create a more formal set of rules for public policy exceptions. It just shows how much influence Geary had, even though Geary himself didn't win his case.
So let's bring it back to today. Why should you, as someone studying law, care about this case from way back in 1974? I think Geary is a perfect example of how the legal system is constantly trying to find that sweet spot between protecting workers and letting businesses do their thing.
I agree. Geary shows that even when an employee loses a case, the arguments and the court's reasoning can still change the way we think about the law. It was a really early step towards recognizing that sometimes public policy has to trump an employer's right to fire at will, and that idea has spread to courts all over the country.
It also makes us think about some really big questions, like when should courts step in and tell a company what to do? How do we even define public policy in these situations? And how much does it matter whether the employee is an expert on the thing they're raising concerns about?
Those are tough questions, and Geary doesn't pretend to have all the answers, but it's a great way to start thinking about these issues. And maybe the biggest takeaway is that legal change, it doesn't usually happen overnight. Like, remember Justice Roberts and his dissent in Geary? At the time, he seemed like he was way out there on his own. But look how many of his ideas about protecting whistleblowers have become part of the law since then. It just goes to show sometimes even losing a case can lead to big changes down the road.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that progress isn't always a straight line. Sometimes the ideas that seem radical at first end up changing the world.
That's a great way to put it. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Geary v. United States Steel. Next time, we're going to look at another important case, Peterman v. Teamsters. It happened in California, and it had a different outcome than Geary, so it'll be interesting to compare the two.
I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, keep thinking critically about the law and how it shapes our lives.
And one last thought to leave you with. Think about the responsibility of an employee who sees something wrong happening at their company, even if it's not directly related to their job. What should they do? What are their obligations? It's a question worth pondering.